You open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the 9th chapter, Luke chapter 9. Beginning with the 18th verse, we'll read through verse 22. It's page 1086 in your Schofield Bible, page 1086. We'll read these verses responsively. The 18th verse is the text verse. May we stand, please, together for the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say, Elias. And others say, that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. And together also on the 22nd verse, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And let's pray. And Lord, Thou hast given us this wonderful day, made wonderful because we get to assemble ourselves in this place, the usual place for many of us. And it's wonderful because You're here and because You meet with us all the time. Thank You for First Baptist Church and thank You for its ministry through the years, but thank You for today especially. We need Thee today. We pray for Thy Spirit and blessing upon us as we hear Thy Word as the preacher preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
You need not turn to it, but I want to read just one verse. That is my text verse this morning. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. An amazing passage. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. I want to speak this morning on the subject, alone in the crowd. Alone in the crowd. It came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. Must have been caught up in love with God the Father. Must have really had a case. And the Holy Spirit could say that the disciples were there and he was alone praying. Father, bless our message this morning to our hearts. Please, may the people be attentive. This is not a plaything with me. It's not a way to make a living. It's not something to do to fill up the time. It's not a chore, responsibility. It's my life. I pray that the folks shall hear. That You'll help me to make their hearing worthwhile. Amen. The other day, as I walked out of the office, late at night, I'd gotten in the office about 7:15 that morning, and youth conference was just 2 weeks before, and we're in the midst of vacation Bible school, and I'd conducted vacation Bible school, and then worked hard all day and counseled into the night. And as I walked out, after, I'd say 16, 17 hours constantly going without even stopping for a meal, one of the security guard who walked me in my car, he asked me the question, said, Are you tired? I said, Don't know. He said, Why don't you know? I said, Never think about it. It's not a part of my thought processes. Don't even check to see if I'm tired. Never think about it. He said, Don't you ever get tired? And I said, I don't think in that realm. I don't think of the possibility. Now, I'm not saying 100% of the time. I'm saying that the habit of my life I don't think about it. Never enters my mind. Are you tired or not? You see, it's not a part of my thought processes. Why do I need to know if I'm tired or not? I've got more work to do. Why should I need to know? So I don't stop and think. Am I tired? It's not a part of my philosophy. You see, you say, well, the house, do you ever get tired? Yeah. Get tired when I want to get tired. You know when I get tired? When I see the bed. Why get tired before you see the bed? Doesn't do any good to get tired then. So I don't think about it. Don't know whether I'm tired or not. You see, it's not time to be tired yet until there's the bed and it's time to go to bed. It's time to be tired when it's time to go to bed, which for many of you is all the time. But, you see, that's allowing myself an appetite that I cannot satisfy yet. How we should get that. That's allowing myself an appetite that I cannot satisfy yet. So why have the appetite that I can satisfy? When I fly all night long, and I do often, and I sometimes go a night without sleep, and 1 week recently I averaged 2.5 hours sleep per night the entire week. I fly all night long and stay awake and work on the airplane. You tired the next day? I don't know. Don't know. Never think about it. It's not a part of my thought processes. Well, don't you know when you're tired? No, don't tell myself. If I don't tell myself, myself won't know. Don't know. He'll let me get tired when it's time to rest. Somebody said, I bet you're the tiredest person here. I said, I don't know. I never have been anybody else. How do I know? So why should I complain to you? You might be tireder than I am. Why should I gripe to you about how bad I feel? You may feel worse than I do. And I don't know whether I feel good or bad because I've never been anybody else to compare it with. I may feel great compared to everybody else in the world. I may feel terrible. I don't know. But since I never have been anybody else, there's no way I have to know. So why measure it? No need to. Somebody said, preacher, are you angry? I said, I don't know. I don't know whether I am or not. I haven't got time to decide. Too busy. Got too much to do to know whether I'm angry or not. Why measure it? I can do something else while I'm measuring it. Don't know. Are you happy? I don't know whether I'm happy. Quit asking me all those questions. I haven't got time to know whether I'm happy or not. That's not why I came to earth in the first place. Son of Man didn't come to be happy. He came to seeking to save that which was lost. I don't know if I'm happy or not. I'll tell you after I die. If I get to heaven, if I got some time, I'll tell you whether I was happy. I'll check it out and let you know. I don't know. You'd be a lot better off you to forget it too. I don't know. You're sad? I don't know. Haven't checked on it. Well, how's you? Are you discouraged? I don't know. I'll never get to the sermon if you don't quit asking questions. I don't know. I don't know if I'm happy or not. Don't think in those terms. I don't know if I'm discouraged or not. It's not a part of my thought processes. I don't know if I'm angry or not. I don't know if I'm angry or not. Don't know. You know. I don't know. Never think about it. You say, you ever get angry? I don't know if I get angry or not. If I get wrapped up in the work, I don't know. I have no idea. I've got a job to do. I've got a work to do. I'm here for a purpose. God's will to be done. There's a purpose for my life. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to be happy or unhappy. Discouraged or encouraged. That's not what I'm here for. Why do you folks ought to put down those dumb books you're reading on how to be happy and get busy and forget whether you're happy or not? All these miserable people writing these books on how to have peace of mind that all go soul winning, quit writing all these. I don't know whether I'm happy or not. I don't know whether I'm sad or not. It's not a part of my thought processes. Paul said that the Christian life is running a race. Let's interview a fellow who's running a 100-yard dash. Let's run along beside him. Son, are you happy? I don't know if I'm happy or not. Get out of my way. I'm running. Are you discouraged? I don't know. I haven't got time. I'm trying to win the race. I'm trying to come in first. I'm running a race. I don't know. Are you discouraged? I don't know.
Are you tired? I don't know.
The guy that's discouraged, the guy sitting on the ground watching him run the race. The complainer, the griper, the critic, who's not running a race.
The guy's running a race. He doesn't know whether he's happy or not. He didn't even think about it. He doesn't, while he's running that race, he doesn't say, let me see, 10 ways to be happy, number one, number two, number three, number four. He doesn't know about that. Why? He's running a race. Why?
He's got his eye on the finish line. The Apostle Paul says, I'm in a race.
He said, lay aside every weight and the sin that doesn't easily beset us. And run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You get your eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith, who's down at the end of the race at the finish line. You won't know whether you're happy or not. You won't know whether you're tired or not. You won't know whether you're discouraged or not. A child of God who's busy doing what God put him here to do hasn't got time to check up and see how he's doing as far as his happiness or sadness or anger or discouragement or encouragement's concerned. I don't know. I don't live like that.
I don't wake up in the morning and try to be happy. I wake up in the morning to do what God called me to do.
I don't wake up in the morning and try to be content. It's not the purpose of my life. I'd rather live a life of discontentment, doing what I'm supposed to do, than live a life of contentment, not doing what I'm supposed to do. I'd rather be unhappy doing God's will than happy not doing God's will. I'd rather be discouraged doing what I'm here to do than I don't wake up in the morning to be encouraged. I wake up in the morning to go to work and do what God call me to do for that day.
I don't wake up in the morning to be happy or sad, encouraged or discouraged. I wake up in the morning, I'm here. I'm here on a mission. I've got one life to live, and I only have one day at a time to live it. I'm not going to spend my time having examinations deciding whether I'm happy, sad, encouraged, discouraged, melancholy, or on top on cloud nine. I don't know when I get to heaven. I promise you I'll sit down and examine every day and give you a day-by-day report. Till then, I'm too busy doing what God called me to do. Oh, I wish I could grab you and shake you and get that in your head. What's the secret to that? I read it to you a while ago. It came to pass as he was alone praying. Alone praying. He was so wrapped up in prayer, he was alone in spite of the fact that the disciples were there. He was alone praying with his disciples there. They were there. Peter was there. But Jesus was alone praying. John was there, but Jesus was alone praying. James was there, but Jesus was alone praying. Andrew was there, but he was alone praying. He was so enraptured with the Father and the Father's purpose for his life, he was alone praying in the presence of the crowd. That's what it means in Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is he saying? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? That doesn't mean go out and sit somewhere and just say, Lord, I just want to be with you all the time. No, it's not talking like that. It's talking about you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be with you till you give me an order. And I'm waiting here for the next order. I'm waiting for the next command. I'm waiting with you. My job is to serve you. My job is to love you. My job is to be with you. My job is to know you. My job is to obey you. I'm so consumed with it, I don't know that anybody else is here. Well, you've seen it on the platform. I married that little Quackenbush gal, that little, what's his name? Randy Yunkins, Yeomans. They didn't know anybody else was here. They wouldn't have known my name if you'd ask them.
No. Why?
They were so busy drooling on each other, they didn't know anybody else in this house. And there's a way the child of God can get so wrapped up in fellowship with God and so wrapped up in the presence of Jesus Christ that you don't know if you're happy. You don't know if you're sad. You've got a job to do.
You give me a generation of Christians who forget how they feel and forget their joy and forget their contentment and forget their happiness and forget their own delightfulness. And I'll guarantee you, I'll give you a generation of Christians that'll change this world like the communists have. We're so wrapped up in all this self-improvement campaign. Why don't we get wrapped up in obeying His will campaign?
Job is to get so wrapped up in him. We don't know. I was out in Denver, Colorado, years ago. They put me up in a Holiday Inn with those round Holiday Inns, tall ones. Looked like a
car piston, round shaped and tall, and I put it on the top floor. I went over and I opened the drape, looked out, and boy, I said, what a gorgeous scene. The Rocky Mountains looked like they were in the backyard. And I said, boy, I am going to sit out here. I had a little balcony out there. And I said, I'm going to sit out here and I'm going to enjoy this Rocky Mountain scene. So I decided to go down and get me a newspaper. Go on the elevator. A couple of big bruisers. Because they didn't have necks. And you've seen them. And the head comes down like that. No shoulder, just a big glob here and a glob here. I said, who you fellas with? They said, University of Wyoming football team. We're here playing the Air Force Academy at Colorado Springs, down the way from Denver, Saturday afternoon. This was on a Thursday night, I think it was. And I said, well, great. And I talked to them. Sat down on a sofa down in the lobby, won them both to Christ. Before I left, two or three others came up. I said, tell these fellows what you just did. Both of them told their football buddies, we just trusted Jesus as our Savior. And they said, you did what? How do you do that? I said, sit down. You know, I spent about 2 days there. Thursday night, Friday night. All I did was witness to football players. I guarantee you had 15 of them saved. Man, I spent my time doing two things. Winning those guys and having a spell in my room. Shouting, praising God. Got my suitcase packed on Saturday morning. Looked out the window and I said, good night. I forgot those mountains. I haven't even looked at them one time. That's what this is. Jesus was with the disciples, but he was so wrapped up in fellowship with the Father. His presence was so wonderful, and his time of fellowship was so ecstatic. He was alone in the presence of the disciples. God's people somehow need to learn that the purpose of Christianity is Jesus. That's the purpose of it all. You won't wonder how you feel if you're with him like you ought to be and serving him like you ought to serve him and spending time with him like you ought to spend. Don't you recall when Jesus went up to heaven in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11? He went back to heaven, was ascended, and the disciples just kept looking up. And these men in white apparel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus taken away shall so come in like manner. They were just staring. They didn't know who was there. They could have been on Times Square. They wouldn't have known it. They could have been on Sunset and Vine. They wouldn't have known it. They could have been on State Street in Chicago. They wouldn't have known it. They could have been on the Broadway, and they wouldn't have known it. It doesn't matter why. They were looking up to Jesus, and the generation of Christians in 1987 needs to realize there's a God. We need to spend some time and get to know him. If you'll spend time with him, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, the things of this world will grow strange and dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'll guarantee you, you'll be surprised. If you just walk with Jesus and get your eyes on him and be alone with him in the crowd, you'd be surprised how many of your pains you wouldn't even feel. In the midst of problems, you can be alone with Jesus in the midst of problems and not even know you got them. If one thing, only one thing can get my mind off my problems, and that's fellowship with him. And I'll tell you what I do. Brother, whenever my problems get real heavy, I just take off and get alone with him. And boy, you just get your eyes. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm telling you what I know. I'm not telling you what I read in the book. I'm telling you what I know. I've got as many problems as many of you have, and I've got as many problems to solve, and I carry as big a load or a bigger load than anybody in this room this morning, maybe in many areas of my life. I'm talking about problems. And it's a miracle that I can stand up here and preach. You know why I do? Because, brother, just some time with Jesus caused me to forget all those problems. He's in with the crowd, with the disciples. How do you feel? Don't know how I feel. walk up there with Jesus and pray and say, "You discouraged? Alone in prayer. The disciples with him. Are you happy?" "I don't know. He was alone in prayer and the disciples with him." "Are you angry?" "I don't know." Did you know that it's possible for you to act angry to people and not even know you've been angry, because your anger was because what they thought was anger was you being so zealous for the work, they thought it was anger, and it wasn't. It was you being wrapped up in the work and wanting to get the job done for God. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, that most of us don't know Jesus. And if we did know Jesus, we would know. You say, would we have problems still? Yeah, but you wouldn't know it. Constant honeymoon with Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. It's a miracle. You don't know this. You don't have to know it. No need to know it. But brother, what the miracle of this church, the fact that I can stand up here every Sunday and preach and my mind's on you and trying to help you. Why? I'll tell you why. I've learned the answer. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of this earth, the joys, the sorrows, the heartaches, the burdens, the problems will go strange to them in the light of His glory and grace. Most of us don't know Him. That's why we know we're unhappy. That's why we know we're discouraged. That's why we know we're sad. You get so wrapped up in Him, you won't know whether you're happy or not. You tired? I don't know. I don't know. I'm busy talking to Him. Jesus, are you weary? I don't know. I don't know. Father and I are having so much fun. I don't know. You discouraged? I don't know. I'll check on that later. I don't know. Talking to the Father. You're lonely? I don't know. Talking to the Father. Don't know. Not only in the midst of problems, in the midst of burdens. I've learned that when the financial load, and that's the biggest load I carry, gets so heavy, I've learned I can forget it when I get with Him. When the criticisms, the lies, the scandals through these 40 years of preaching say, "How do you take it?" I take it because I know Him. That's what I take it. You could take yours too. "And I just don't think I can make another day." Well, get hold of Him. He'll get plugged in. He'll give you enough juice to make it. "I'm so tired. I'm just about to die." Oh, shut up. Doesn't the one live in you who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Our problem is we do not know Him well enough or love Him enough for His presence to be our sufficiency. In the midst of problems, burdens, heartaches, in the midst of grief, my mama died, all that could die of her, this only thing could work. I got with Him. I wish you knew what I'm talking about. I am so hungry for somebody in this church to know what it is to walk with God and quit griping. And, "Oh, it is so hot. The humidity is so terrible." I guarantee you, Randy Yeomans and the Quackenbush, what's her name? Shelley Quackenbush didn't know whether it's hot or cold. Let her stand up here. Shelley, are you discouraged? Shelley, are you happy? Randy, are you sweating? That liquid dropping ain't sweat. That's drool. Oh, I wish I could. I just hurt on the inside before you know what I'm talking about. Our Savior was with the disciples. The shadow of the cross was hovering over His path. The nails were being made now to drive in his hands, and his face was set like a flint toward Jerusalem. And the cat of nine tails was in the factory now being polished off, and the hatred was being placed in the minds and hearts of his enemies by the evil one. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows that soon he's Calvary. He knows it. Are you discouraged? Jesus. Jesus. Are you sad? I'm 60 years old. I've been saved for 40, almost 48 years. Over 48 years. I've been preaching for 40 of those years. Pastoring a church 40 years this summer. I've had my share of heartache. Well, now I wouldn't say my share. I deserve a lot more. But I've had some. I've had some nights, lonely nights. I've had the times when the load was crushed on me like you have. I've had the time when the serpentine tongue of the enemy had snapped as you have had. And I've had the same things that you've had to face, but I don't know if I'm happy. I'm busy, wrapped up in Jesus. That's why I don't know. I'm not here to be happy. I'm so tired of our people coming to my office and saying, we're going to move somewhere, we just love it there. Well, what's that got to do with the purpose of life? We're heathen. I'm tired of the cold weather. Well, the rest of us are here because we love icicles. You reckon if you got so wrapped up in Him, you wouldn't know if you wouldn't know if it's cold or hot. You wouldn't know if you're happy or sad. Well, the devil's got us hoodwinked to making us think the purpose of our being here is to be happy and enjoy it. That's not the purpose at all. The purpose of our being here is to get up close to Jesus and look at Him and say what you want me to do next. And until you send me on the next mission, I'm going to sit here and gaze at you and love you and adore you. And I'll wait to beck and call. Tell me what to do. Only to be what you want me to be. Only to do what you want me to do. Are you happy? I don't know. Are you sad? I don't know. Are you sick? I don't know. Are you tired? I don't know. I'm just alone in the crowd with Jesus. My mama died. She made me promise her on her deathbed that I would not cancel any preaching engagement because of her death. I guess the hardest thing I've ever done in my life was that, it was that and the promise I made I'd preach her funeral sermon. When I walked from here to there after the sermon, I fully expected to die before I sat down. 15 minutes after I got the word that she was gone, I was sitting in a motel. I was taken to preach. I preached 8 times between her death and her burial, including one funeral where I stood right behind this pulpit and preached a funeral for another one of our fine ladies, Miss Sensible. On a Saturday afternoon, my mother's body lying in state at John Alt's funeral home, Booker Funeral Home. When the service was over here, and I turned to leave, I had to go preach service on Monday. I had to leave before the family left. I had to rush and leave the cemetery. Rushed to the airport because I had to preach that night in Kentucky near Louisville. I went out to the airport, picked up the telephone at the airport to call Mother like I always did and tell her I loved her before I left the airport. I picked up and called her house and, of course, nobody answered. And the operator said, I'm sorry, sir. There's no one answering. And I said, operator, I'm also sorry. I forgot. I said she moved just a few days ago to another address. And I forgot. I went to at night. I spent that whole afternoon just me and Jesus, that's all, because that's all I could get my mind off Mama. And I preached that night, went back to the room, September 24th, 1984. Now, the room could have been very lonely if I'd have chosen. I could have said, oh, I sat there in that room by myself. I didn't.
I opened the door and invited somebody to go in with me. His name was Jesus. We had a wonderful time together. A wonderful time. And then I looked over and it was 1 minute past midnight. And I said, "It's my birthday. It's my birthday. I'm 58 years old today." And I looked up and I said, "And Jesus, I am extremely happy. I'm extremely happy." You know why? Because he and I were together. Having a tough time in life, preacher? I don't know. Ever get tired? Don't know. Ever get discouraged? Don't know. Are you happy? Don't know. Now, why I'm here? I'm here to be what he needs me to be to him and do what he wants me to do. I love that verse. He was alone praying, and his disciples were with him. I'm through preaching. I started 30 minutes ago, nearly. I'm finished. What you've heard in the last 30 minutes could do more to change the total spectrum of your life than anything you've heard in the 28 years I've been your preacher. Get with him. Be with him. Walk with him. Know him. And you'll be alone praying in the crowd. Father, I ache right now for somebody to understand what I'm saying. I feel like I'm in a foreign country. I need an interpreter. I need someone to say this is what he meant. Oh my God, I wish somebody would learn how wonderful you are. I wish somebody would learn how sweet prayer is. People right now scouring out of here to get to the restaurant first, get to the nursery first. I always said learn a few things about the Christian life. They paid their dues for another Sunday. They've come and sat through a sermon. Now they can go out and forget all about it. Oh, my God in heaven, help somebody sometime to understand what this preacher is trying to say.